the word that he brings, and we just appreciate him and honor him in every way, shape, and form. Just such a delight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All righty. Good morning, church. Am I on?
Woo!
All right. Wow, just so many emotions this morning. Just gratitude, thanksgiving, joy, peace. I just feel like I'm, is anybody else feeling it? Just feeling God, just feeling God's presence. Amazing stuff. Well, wow, after that really powerful moment in worship, I was just really overcome with just gratitude and just overwhelming sense of just peace in God this morning. And I don't want to bust out of that. You know, I just kind of want to stay in that attitude. But the message I prepared is going to go in a slightly different direction. It's going to be kind of fun and joyful, hopefully, and happy. And so what I want to do is we'll kind of set it up just a little bit. Last week, Pastor Rick gave a message, and he played as a part of his message a song from Frozen, Let It Go. You know, this Let It Go song? And we had a lot of fun just watching that video. And the message had to do with letting it go in Jesus, letting the light go. There's light. He's called us to be salt and light in a very thirsty and dark world, right? And with that, we have a responsibility to take the basket, he said. Take the basket off of our heads and let the light shine out. And so not to be outdone, I wanted to do a video too, so if we can play it. Now, I got to set up the video. It's a little bit, maybe slightly inappropriate for church, but I think if you forgive me in advance, I think you're going to like it, and I think I'll be able to tie it in and make it relevant. So
bad.
Here we go.
I see what's happening, yeah. Face to face with greatness, and it's strange. You don't even know how you feel. It's adorable. Well, it's nice to see that humans never change. Open your eyes, let's begin. Yes, it's really me, it's Maui, breathe it in. I know it's a lot, the hair, the plot. When you're staring at a demigod, what can I say?
So Everybody's smiling, I hope. Forgive me again for the slightly irreverent video here. I think the point, though, is obvious. Hopefully, I'm going to make it obvious if it's not obvious yet. God wants to say you're welcome. Okay, forget the cartoon guy for a minute. We worship God, and we're gathered this week, and our entire nation is focused on Thanksgiving. And we give thanks appropriately to God for all the stuff that he does for us, for the daily blessings, for sun, and even for the rough times that make us grow and sharpen our skills at being perceptive and tuning into him. So I wanted to just kind of make an obvious life point that God is all about saying you're welcome. He receives our thanks. He receives our praises that we've done this morning so beautifully and awesomely and wonderfully. But how does God say you're welcome? That's kind of where I wanted to go with this message a little bit, if you permit me to kind of jump off of that. The first verse I wanted to bring up is 1 Chronicles 29:13. And it says, "Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise, and we praise your glorious name." Giving him thanks and praise is something that we do as his family. We, you know, just as a small child thanks their dad for a house and for food, we thank him for all the things that he does and for all the blessings he brings. But I wanted to kind of go with that just a little further. And have you ever stopped? I mean, that cartoon was kind of an extreme example of the asking for thanks and the giving of the you're welcome. But have you ever thought why is being thankful important to God? Why is that such a big deal? Because it is a big deal. All throughout history, all throughout church history especially, the church has sought many different ways to return thanks and to give God thanks. And I just wanted to kind of bring that through, that God wants us to communicate thanks to him so that we can be in position to hear him say you're welcome. It's a communication. It's conversation. It's a life thing. We've made a religion out of a relationship. And there's nothing wrong with having the religion. There's nothing wrong with having the rituals and the traditions that we have of breaking down our relationship with God and making it real. But we have to make that next thing, that waiting on him to say you're welcome back, because that completes the conversation. And then we thank him some more, and he says you're welcome some more. And it just continues that wonderful relationship that we have with the one who created everything, the one who brings everything into existence for his pleasure, but also for ours. The next scripture I wanted to hit is Hebrews 12:28. We have to remember the kingdom of God. It's all about his kingdom. We aren't living on the kingdom of earth or the kingdom of United States. We live in the kingdom of God. Yeah, we have an address, and our address is here. But we also live within the realm of God, within the realm of his kingdom. And here's the thing, Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. And I think I felt that this morning. I hope you did too, that while we were worshiping, there was a sense of awe and reverence for God. Just that beautiful moment where we're drawn into his presence. And it's not like being drawn into some courtroom where there's a presiding judge. It's we're being more brought into a living room, a heavenly living room, where we can gather at God's recliner throne, if you will, if you can get that picture. We gather at his feet and then just enjoy that family moment. But it's that kingdom that we live in. And guess what it says here? Don't miss this. This is like one of the most important things that I can say this morning. It's that we're receiving. We are receiving, it says. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, it isn't something that is going to happen someday, We are receiving. That's in the now. I guess I wanted to make sure we get that. We are receiving the kingdom, and it's in the now. This morning is a kingdom moment where we gather in his name, and we enjoy that presence of God, and we enjoy that moment with each other as his children and as his family. Just like we're going to gather for Thanksgiving, hopefully a lot of us will be able to get together with family and enjoy that moment. God wants us to enjoy that family moment, that kingdom moment, with him. And we're receiving it. We're not going to receive it. We are receiving it. Get it? I hope I made that good, because I really felt like God wants us to get that this morning, that he's already giving it to us, present tense. So that's why we bring thanks. That's why we bring him praise for the moments that he gives us, like now, the right now. Have you ever received a Christmas gift or something? Hopefully, maybe you can roll back to childhood. I think of the Christmas Story movie, and there's one thing that little guy wanted, right? It was that Red Ryder BB gun. And I don't know what your Red Ryder BB gun was. I think for me it was a bicycle. I had a big family and lots of brothers and sisters, and I knew the ask was big that one Christmas. I wanted a bicycle, and I knew that it was going to be rough because we didn't have a lot of money. And long story, but my dad found some old bike. And you know, when I was a kid, it's going to roll you back a little bit, but the coolest cool bike you could get was a Schwinn Stingray. Oh, yeah. And they had one, they were called crates. They were like apple crate and orange crate, and they had the sissy bar and the extended fork, and just, it was a banana seat. It was really, really cool. Well, you know, I had to ask, and you know, my dad gave me something so much better. He made one for me, you know, got the frame, painted it all up nice, and got the banana seat on. Actually, all I got for Christmas morning under the tree was just a package with a banana seat in it. And I knew that meant that it was coming, that the bike was, you know, and it was in the garage, and Dad wasn't quite all the way done with it yet. He got it done shortly after. And that was so cool. And even better than the bike itself was the bike riding lessons. We lived near a school, and there was a junior high and had a track. And my dad pushing me around that track trying to teach me how to ride that bicycle. I'm sure I had a few raspberries on my knees and stuff to go for the effort. But it was a magical, that was a big gift. That was huge. But have you ever, any, you know, that gift that will leave you and put you in awe is what I'm looking at. You know, again, Red Ryder BB guns, Stingray bicycles, but waking up, you know, to find, what about this one? What if we wake up and realize that we've got that gift? We're being given this kingdom. It's like we have, we've got the crown. The crown is the banana seat under the tree, if you will. The crown has been given to us. He's called us his children. The king of the universe calls us sons and daughters. That makes us what? Princes and princesses. We have been given a kingdom, and we need to live like it. We need to enjoy that inheritance that we've been given. I think sometimes we get just kind of become residents of the United States, California, wherever you're from. We become residents, and we kind of lose that wonder of being a child of the king, being in his kingdom. Switching the direction just a little bit, sometimes I think about Judgment Day. I don't know, it's a big leap, sorry, but it's where I'm headed. I almost fear, like, as a younger believer especially, like, oh my goodness, I'm going to get to heaven and have to stand before God, and I'm going to be like, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, Lord. You gave me so much, and I didn't quite carry the ball. I didn't quite do all the things that you had for me to do. I wasn't quite all the Mike that you built into me when you created me. And it's kind of a sobering thought, you know, but what he reminded me when I was having that thought is that it isn't about me. It's never been about me. Yeah. It's always been about what I can do through him. I can do all things through him who gives me the strength. So it isn't about me sitting about thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't speak the word to that guy when I had an opportunity. Yeah, I should take a lesson from it, but I shouldn't take guilt from it. The moments, that coffee shop moments when you kind of shrink back and you say, you know, I'm just not feeling it today. I really don't have that gospel in me today. You know, those moments when we kind of just dropped it a little bit. God is saying, he's still saying you're welcome. We're thanking him for that kingdom that he's placing us, that he's growing in us. He's growing that kingdom in us. It's not something that's a finished product. I don't think even a Billy Graham, after 90 plus years walking the earth and all that we saw him accomplish in Jesus' name, I don't think he felt like he was done when he had put his head on his pillow for the last time. It's all about that continuous, ongoing, growing process of becoming all that we can be in the kingdom, because that's our inheritance. That's the gift, the big, huge, amazing, powerful gift is His Spirit building kingdom in us and through us. Amen? God's got a great picture for us. Psalm 107:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. He's good. I don't have to fear Him. I don't have to shrink back. He's good. He's going to do good in me. He's going to do good through me, and He's going to do good for me, because He is good. And what's His mercy? You know, if there is a courtroom, if there is a courtroom in heaven and we have to stand there, it's going to be standing in front of mercy. Amen? Thank goodness for His mercy. It endures how long? For at least the end of my life? No, even beyond and forever. His mercy endures, goes on and on and on. There isn't an end to His mercy. It continues and continues and continues. So I'm going to cut a lot of this down. I'm going to cut it way down. I want to talk about thankfulness. Sometimes I think we become sort of, what's the word, incorporated into this world. And we build like a sense of entitlement. It's sort of like, I have had that feeling too, especially younger in my walk with Jesus, that because I show up here on Sunday morning and do my thing and I'm being a good guy, and because I read the Bible and because I pray and because I do all the good things that I know I'm supposed to do, I kind of have a reward coming to me. And I do. I don't want to minimize the fact that God does reward faithfulness. But there's like an expectation, and that expectation can kind of be like an entitlement. Like I deserve it. I deserve to be blessed. I deserve this. And I kind of wanted to shake that off this morning and say, you know, we are blessed because of whose we are, because of who we belong to, but not because of all the great things that I am or could be. I'm His because He chose me from before the foundation of the universe. And thankfulness, real, true, honest to goodness thankfulness, is an antidote for that entitlement attitude, that thing that says I deserve it. We know we don't deserve it. I hope we don't. And if there's anything, maybe, you know, we can have a moment after we're done here this morning, we can just pray and ask God to break off any sense of entitlement, that when we really come before Him this week and really thank Him for the things He's doing and the things He's building and what He's doing in our hearts, that entitlement sense would fall off, and that we would just realize that we're His, that we're all those things that He's done for us and through us. Can I be thankful for nothing? That was when I first sat down to write this message. My title was going to be Thanks for Nothing. And I was going to spin it, of course. But can we be thankful for just like nothing? I'm blessed. I've got beautiful grandchildren, wonderful kids. I've got so many things going for me. But what if I didn't? You know, I was thinking about Paul. And skipping down a little bit towards the bottom of the message here. Let's see. Philippians 1, 3 through 5 says, I thank God, my God, in all my remembrances of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. He was joyful and thankful and just in an amazing place in his heart because of what God was doing, not because of his circumstances, because he was in jail. Can we be thankful when it's with joy? We don't have it up, but can we have joy in the most dark circumstance? Can we really? I mean, I think we can. I think he wants us to be joyful in the middle of our circumstances. Regardless, you might have gotten that bad diagnosis this week or recently. Maybe you're working under a heavy burden. Maybe, you know, you looked at your bank account, excuse me, looked at your bank account and it didn't have enough numbers to do the things you want to do. You know, there's some things in our life that are not happy and joyful. Paul was sitting in prison, probably shackled, and he was just thankful. He was thankful and joyful because he was remembering the people that he was there to minister to. He was remembering the people that were benefiting from what God had done in him and was doing through him. So the thought I was having was, can I be really thankful and truly joyful in that thanks when things aren't looking so good, when the circumstances of my life would indicate maybe I should be bummed, maybe I shouldn't be all happy, maybe I should be, you know, depressed or something. And God is just saying, there's so much that I want to do in you and through you. There's so much more to all the things that he's got for us. I wanted to kind of wrap with a little, just a story, more or less. Let's see where I put it here. I'm skipping around. Sorry about that. There's a guy that lived back in the early 1800s. Actually, he lived pretty much throughout the 1800s. He was born in, I think, early 1805 or something. George Mueller. Anybody heard of him? Maybe older folks might have heard his name before. He's a great, great man of faith. Huge, huge faith. There's books that he wrote and people wrote about him, about all the amazing things God did through him and his faith. I want to read a quote, if we can find it. Here it is. We got the George Mueller quote. I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, when I lie down and when I rise up, and the answers are always coming. That's how you get answers to prayer, is by living in prayer. It isn't something we do, it's something we live. If we can live a prayer, if we can wake up in the morning, yes, in grateful thanks to God for breath and for the moment, for the day, but also there's just that communication, I guess, is what I'm trying to communicate here, is that in our thanksgiving, in our giving thanks and remembering God, we are in a conversation and God is saying, you're welcome. And he says, you're welcome by answering prayers, great, small. And the story was about Mueller that I wanted to mention. It was in the middle of his ministry, and he was a, amongst his many other things, he was an evangelist, but he also ran orphanages in Britain, I believe. Britain. Correct me if I'm wrong. Pretty sure it was in Britain. Anyway, so, and he didn't always have lots of money, but he had lots of need. There was always kids to be fed. There was kids to be housed. And they'd reached a point in the ministry where they needed a bigger building to house all the kids God had brought them. And so he was praying in earnest prayer for resources for a new building. And as he was coming out of his prayer closet, one of the little kids from the orphanage crossed his path and came up to him and handed him a penny. And he just was so struck by that penny was God's answer. That God was saying, I've got this. You know, that a small child came up and gave him a penny. God was saying to him, I hear you. I've got this. God isn't about the numbers. It isn't all the zeros after the penny that are so important, whether you need a 10 bucks or 100 bucks to get through your day, or 1,000 or 10,000 or millions and millions. God's resources are infinite. There's no limit on his resources. What he's communicating is the you're welcome. He's giving the penny. He's saying, I've got this. Look for the penny. That's kind of what I wanted to end on this morning. That particular one that I've got on the screen, that penny, happens if you have that one in your closet somewhere. In the thing I was reading, it's worth about $158,000. So I guess the point is that when God gives us an answer to prayer, if we have a huge need, we need mortgage money. You know, at the end of the month and I don't have money for my mortgage, whatever that number is with some zeros after it, that's a number. That's a barrier. God has no barriers. He doesn't limit it by our concepts of resource. He is only limited by his own resource, which is infinite. There isn't any limit on his resources. So while we're praying and being thankful this week, let's keep that open communication with the Lord. Let's never forget that he's always trying to say you're welcome. He's always listening to our prayers. He doesn't stop. He doesn't rest. He doesn't sleep. He lives for us. And how much more can we live in him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's worship. Let's continue that thought. Let's continue in worship. Amen. Thanks.